Last week, stakeholders from all corners of the state's behavioral health industry met to discuss ways to improve services and to work with policymakers to ensure adequate mental health care for all. The Idaho Behavioral Health Alliance hosted this. That collaboration, joining us here in the studio, Cece Tunis, coordinator for the Idaho Behavioral Health Alliance. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
So off the top, what was the big takeaway for you at this meeting last week? What concerns did you hear over and over again?
Well, thank you for having me here, first of all, to talk about this really important issue. This forum, the purpose of it really was to convene stakeholders, like you mentioned, all levels, consumers, consumer advocates, insurers, doctors, anybody who's interested in the future of Idaho's behavioral health care system. They were invited to be there, participate, and to also to offer their input about what they think works within the behavioral health care system and what does not. So the main takeaways that we got from this was that a lot of consumer input matches a lot of things that we already know about Idaho. One, that people need more access to services. There are a lot of problems accessing services, especially in rural areas. And for people who are managing mental health and substance use disorders, for people who need treatment, when there's not service there when they need it, it can really have devastating consequences for them.
So access is one of those issues that you heard loud and clear. As we know, there are many rural areas here in the state of Idaho. How do you reach those people?
Well, you know, it can be kind of difficult. You know, you really have two problems. First of all, when it comes to access, you have people in this state who number in the tens of thousands still who don't have insurance, and the state does not invest enough so that people can be covered. And so when you have people who are uninsured, and especially people who are trying to manage a mental illness or a substance use disorder, it creates – and they don't have that path to access for insurance – then a lot of times they're like, you know, there can be a lot of chaos that comes from it, and it can be hard on families and, you know, taxpayers in general. Then you also have access issues for people with insurance. And this can be a big issue, especially for people in rural areas, because we're such a large state. You may have insurance, but somebody who may be in your network could still be like a 4-hour drive away, in which case that means you really don't have access. People who don't have transportation or need childcare, or don't have it, providers within network, they can be facing a big uphill battle even with insurance. And so those are a couple of big barriers, especially for people in Idaho.
We'll talk about the coverage gap in a moment, but Cece Tunis, our guest coordinator for the Idaho Behavioral Health Alliance. So the state recently contracted with a group called Western Interstate Center for Higher Education to assess these things. And this report that they found was said improvement has happened in mental health services in Idaho, but the system is still disjointed. They laid out recommendations for improving it even further. What were some of those?
So that's a really big thing that has to do with the point that you made about having kind of a fractured system. So think about it like this. If you have a physical health concern, let's make it simple, you have hurt your back, right? You will go to see a primary care provider, someone who takes care of your physical health. But it's siloed off. If you are concerned about a mental health issue, or you're concerned about a substance use disorder issue, these are different providers working in different areas, and they're not integrated. And having an integrated system is really the key to having an efficient system. And so if we're talking about that same person who has a bad back, instead of like treating the bad back, perhaps a provider might say something like, well, tell me what happened with your back. And it could be that they had an injury at work, and they've actually been out of work for 2 years. When you learn something about like that with some people, being out of work can really contribute to a lot of mental health concerns, because work is so important to so many people. You could find out that, you know, that maybe they're taking too many pain medications. And so really we're dealing with a host of issues. It's not about the bad back. It's about the whole person. And so when you can have a team of providers who are focusing from different areas, whether it's a substance use provider, mental health, the person who's taking care of your back, and just as importantly, insurers and your family, and focusing on the consumer is what it's all about, having a team-based approach to have an integrated system. And so that's not what we have right now.
All right. Then how do we get there? You mentioned a team-based approach, an integrative system, looking at the whole person. Is this a policy issue? Do private providers take us there? What do you think are steps to getting there?
Well, as they say, it can be pretty complicated. It would definitely it would definitely constitute needing to have a public and private partnership. And I'm not the person who's going to be getting deep into the weeds about how all that looks. But we do have a model in place right now that we can look to, even in Idaho. We have the YES program, the Youth Empowerment Services, which provides wraparound services, what I was just talking about. It's a little technical, but basically it means that all of those people who are involved in one person's health care are all on the same page and all coming up with a plan together. Youth Empowerment Services is mental health services for children in this state. And so there are a lot of children who can benefit from all of these wraparound services. Now, if we had a program like that, a model like that, that we could replicate for adults, that would be a big step towards bringing cohesion into the to the whole behavioral health care system. And of course, if we could expand Medicaid in this state, that's going to go a great way.
Let's talk about that. Again, we're speaking with CeCe Tunis, coordinator of the Idaho Behavioral Health Alliance. What do you think? You can communicate with us through email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Well, as you know, Idahoans may have the opportunity to vote up or down on expanding Medicaid, covering that health care gap in November, and help cover some 62,000 residents in that gap. That means that 90%, though, of the costs go to the federal government. How would this expansion improve behavioral health services, and how might you realign if this were to pass?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm excited to answer that because it would help in a couple of different ways, many ways. First of all, primarily, it's going to open up access to thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of Idahoans who don't have insurance right now. And they will also have access to behavioral health care services. Expanding Medicaid in the state will also help the rural communities because it will help providers more easily set up facilities in those rural communities because there are so many communities, counties in the state that don't even have a single mental health or substance use provider in their entire county. So by expanding Medicaid, it will help providers set up into those communities.
Well, you talked about rural access. There are disheartening rates of even suicide in the Mountain West region. A lot of that is the rural that you just mentioned, those hard-to-find areas. But some of it is the go-it-alone Western spirit. You've mentioned one of the objectives of your alliance is messaging to perhaps remove that stigma that gets attached to people seeking mental health. How would you do that?
Well, that is a really big challenge because you're right. In Idaho, we definitely do have more of a bootstrap mentality, and that puts a lot of pressure on people to perform to a standard that in a lot of ways is not reasonable. We have so many people who live in rural communities, and even though we have like low unemployment rate, wages are down, costs are skyrocketing, that puts a lot of pressure on people. We have obviously an opioid epidemic throughout the nation and the state, more accentuated, and you're right, suicide rates are especially pronounced in this state. And stigma and shame and embarrassment have a lot to do with it. So by starting with a campaign in which you focus, first of all, on outreach and education, and we are looking to reduce that stigma and make people feel more, allow people to feel more comfortable talking about concerns, providing crisis centers in every region of the state, which we're on track to do right now, will go a great way towards like providing access for people. And the more that we're able to put money into treatment and services like those crisis centers, and the more people can access it, the more they can talk about it. And hopefully that will go a long way towards, reducing that stigma.
You're listening to Idaho Matters, live and local. You know, on recent episodes, we spoke with one of the coordinators about the Youth Empowerment Services mm-hmm. program. We also talked about the public health hazards of the opioid epidemic, and we're happy to talk about the Behavioral Health Alliance. So you had this meeting. You left feeling like change is possible. Mm-hmm. What's next for your group?
Well, we have a lot of education and outreach to do, and the big thing that we're doing right now is we're refining our policy for the 2019 session. Ross Edmonds, the administrator for the Division of Behavioral Health in the Department of Health and Welfare, he's very integral to that, and he was part of our forum last week. He said it best, and a lot of people are saying this right now, is that right now there's never been a better time to move forward on significant policy that can help people across the state, people who are managing everyday behavioral health issues like mental illness and substance use disorders. This is the time that we can help them. And so we have a really great opportunity for the public to get involved. We have a statewide survey that's live right now, and we'd love to be able to share that with people.
We've been talking to CC Tunis, the coordinator of the Idaho Behavioral Health Alliance. We appreciate you joining us for Idaho Matters.
Thank you.